The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Everyone's been asking, when is it coming out? We need the info. So we're here. The Bear, Stanford Steve, Kentucky Derby / Oaks /
whatever.
Best Saturday preview of the week, of the year. Everything. This Saturday is lining up to be absolutely spectacular with UFC, Kentucky Derby. We started off there with a big one at 9 a.m. here in Montgomery County. We got a big one, a road game against the Maroon team, 8-year-old soccer. We start early, 9 a.m. against the Maroon team. So we got to get off to Schneid. We've lost a couple in a row.
Are you gold? Are you blue? What are you?
We're green.
Okay.
We're green. Yep. So, yeah, that'll kick us off bright and early Saturday. So we got to make we got to start. We'll get to the Oaks Friday. We got to make curfew Friday night, and then we get a big one with the Maroon team Saturday morning, and then we'll go from there. You were at the draft. I talked about it on SV Pod just about what you guys do for 3 days, and not only the 3 days, but all the work that goes into before that. And I watched, I'll admit it, way too much of it, but I love it because it's you guys in your element, and the guests you guys get, the work you put in, the back and forth you guys have, and McShay bringing you in whenever that team from New Jersey was, or I should say Long Island, was drafted and was phenomenal. We will get to all the draft recap and stuff. I know you did really well with the props, and I'll give my thoughts on that. But it's the Derby, man. I've been there. You've had to be in what, 15 of these? 10?
Yeah, that sounds about right. At least 10.
Double digits.
Yeah, it's definitely double digits.
Okay. So let's start there, because I hate to jinx you, but when we've started this pod, I want to say you're 100%, because when growing up, I've always, you know, my uncles thought they were handicappers, but they just really are guys that just want to bet on horse racing. So they're always going to have action. You've met plenty of them, but I've always tried. This is the toughest part of the Derby, was get rid of the trash. Who is not going to be a part of it? And who do I not want in any of my exactas, supers, tries, keys, wheels, the whole nine. So let's throw out with the numbers that you do not have in any, you don't see them touching the board, we'll say.
All right, well, we'll immediately throw out the two. Happy Jack. He's got no shot. He broke his maiden at 24-1, still eligible for a first level allowance. He's beaten in front of finished seven horses in his races since breaking maiden. He's a total non-factor. He should be 99-1, not 30-1. Summer is tomorrow, the four. You can completely throw him out as well. He's going to be a pace factor, but that's pretty much it. He should be 99-1 as well. You can throw out the seven horse Crown Pride. The next UAE Derby winner that I bet will be the first. I don't think he's got a prayer. You can throw out Crown Pride. You can throw out the 11 Pioneer of Medina. This has got the look of vanity entry. Just run around the track. Don't finish last. We're happy to be here for the party. So I'll throw the 11 out, Pioneer and Medina. You could throw out the 17, Classic Causeway. He's a speed runner who definitely won't be around at the end. You can totally throw him out. You can throw out the 19, Zosos, who again is another horse that I think this summer at Saratoga, you're probably going to want to keep an eye on him when he cuts back to the sprint races. He ran pretty good in Louisiana, but
that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, we'll get to the horses. Is he going to be, I mean, I looked at, there's possibly three rabbits in this race. I was thinking Zozos is one of them, right?
Zozos absolutely is one of them. Because remember, Brad Cox has two other horses in the race that like to come from off the pace, and Cyberknife and Tawnyport. So I think Zozos is in the race to make sure that no one gets away with an easy lead. So he's an uncoupled rabbit, And then the 20 Ethereal Road. Good luck if you're betting him. He's a total thrower as well. So what is that? Seven total throwouts.
Seven.
Okay. So yeah, if you can knock it down from 20 horses to throwing an all button to
heck to, yeah, to
13 or 12 if you can one, that you're taking away a good portion of the field. So I don't think those horses that I mentioned have any shot to hit the board.
All right, perfect. So let's go. The posts are announced, and one that I was really interested in, and it got the worst one because I love the guts of Mo Donegal. I love what it's pulled off late in races, but now it's the one, and we know the history in this post. Your thoughts on Mo Donegal?
Yeah, it's been a while since the winner of the Wood Memorial even factored into the exact. You've got to go back to Empire Maker in 2003. I don't think he's the one ending this drought. We talked about the one hole being really, really bad. While it may not be as bad with that new custom 2024 starting gate, it's still no bargain. And the fact that he's a late runner and he's going to come from way off the pace, that might help him mitigate some of the problem. I don't know if you're going to get a complete closer from way off the pace to win this one. Now, I think he certainly can crack the try. You got to remember, too, if you go back to his Remsen form and some other races in Florida, he's got to make up about five lengths on Guadabario. He did beat Zandon in the Remsen, but at the same time, I think Zandon has improved a lot more than Mo Donegal has. So he will be on my tickets in third and fourth in supers and exactas, but I think that's probably the ceiling for Mo Donegal, who I did have in the wood. And you'll probably get every bit of 10-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, like I said, I love the horse, but what is it? Four of the five races, just brutal starts. And you mentioned the Ramsden. I mean, that race, go back and watch the tape of that race against Zandon. It was phenomenal in what he showed coming out of there. But, I mean, he did an unbelievable job weaving around that last turn and got the – but, yeah, he's a stone-cold closer, man. And – with all these horses, there's a lot to get around. And, you know, there's a couple horses that have come around wide, you know, four horse wide that were impressive to me. But Mo Donegal, I think he's going to be in my tries with the multiple horses for sure. I really wish I had a better post because I love what it brings to the table. But getting around all that traffic, I think, is going to be hard. We're passing on to two, Happy Jack. I watched that Sam Felipe Stakes. Really didn't really have a chance against Forbidden Kingdom in that one.
No, he's been nowhere against Messier and Tiber. Yeah. And like how is he going to – I can't believe that he's even in this race. But, hey, owners and trainers want to go there for the party.
Exactly. It's about the party, buddy. All right, that gets us to the three. And one of the most impressive horses, I think, that I think will be up there, and that's Epicenter. The Star Stakes – start to finish, never even tested, was phenomenal. You mentioned the Louisiana Derby against Zozos. What a race that was. That just showed me a lot because it stayed right there in the whole time. And then when it came, he just outran everybody. So Epicenter, plenty has been talked about him. Your thoughts on Epicenter?
I am going to stand against Epicenter on the majority of my tickets. Taking 7-2 on this horse who breaking from post three, I don't think is a bargain at all. You look at the Risen Star, he got away with easy fractions in that race and just basically wired the field. And then in a really bad edition of the Louisiana Derby, he showed a different dimension, which is great, coming from off the pace. But I think where he drew down inside here, and you've got the two horses from Dubai, from the UAE Derby. You've got Pioneer of Medina. You've got Zozos. You've got Messier. You've got Classic Causeway. You've got other horses in here who are signed on, and they are going to be on the lead. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to force Epicenter to maybe send a little bit earlier so he doesn't get completely shuffled back. So I think 7-2 is ridiculously short. on him. I know he did beat Zandon in the Risen Star, but it was his home track. He had a better post. Zandon was, race was off a 2.5 month layoff. So I prefer Zandon to him here. And I mean, take it or leave it. But is there something to Steve Asmussen in the Kentucky Derby? I mean, he's 0 for 23 with his horses here. Only four of the 23 have even finished in the money. He can certainly win the race with the gray trip if Rosario can or can work something out from post three. But you don't want to – it's been a long time since you've had, like, favorite over second choice in the exacta. So I'm not even going to bother.
Okay.
He can win, but I'm on the fence, and I'm leaning towards the oppose him. He'll probably, he'll be on a couple of, like, my saver-type tickets, but he will not be a horse that it's going to be, like, one of my keys.
It's the first horse that I've seen with these the new figure that has come out, and I want to get your take on the Equibase speed factor or the speed figure. Have you looked at those at all?
I have not seen the Equibase PPs. I use DRF, Daily Racing Form PPs, right, which uses buyers. Now, I know some people like the Equibase ones. I know some people live on the sheets, but I'm a DRF guy.
Okay. I just, it was something new that I brought in the stuff that I was reading, and it has a speed figure of 97, which is the high end. I think there's four other horses. We'll get to those, but that's the other thing that it's plenty capable, but I agree with you where it is in that three is tough. And it's a shame because like I said, capable is the word I keep bringing up. We'll skip the four, the five, Smile Happy, Bluegrass, Zandon blew away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really, really impressive. And then that Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, that's where he came, four horse wide on the back, and I thought was really impressive. The issue is this distance in the Derby's distance and his ability to win there. That's what my question mark is with Smile Happy, but there is some good there. For sure. Your thoughts on Smile Happy?
Yeah, I can see why people like him as a potential long shot for some of the reasons that you mentioned. He had the nice stakes win at Churchill Downs as a two-year-old when he beat Wide Barrio, when he beat Classic Causeway. But at the same time, Zandon ran by him like he was standing still in the Bluegrass.
He sure did.
Epicenter wired him, and Zandon had a terrible trip in the Risen Star, and he only beat him by a half a length. So I feel like others have made the leap from two to three and are better now as a three-year-old than what Smile Happy is right now. And the other thing is if you think you're going to get anywhere close to 20 to one on this horse, just forget that thought. Your guy, Mattress Mac, who I know you're a big fan of, he owned Run Happy, who is the sire of Smile Happy. He has come out and said he's going to have a big bet on this horse. So this is not going to be anywhere near 20 to 1.
Yeah,
he's
Mattress Mac's big bets are bigger than your and I's combined.
Exactly. Yeah. just by a couple of zeros. So he will not be anywhere close to the true. Can he still hit the board? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a really nicely timed ride from Corey Lanner, and he's just going to have to wait, and not hit the front too soon like he did in the Bluegrass.
All right, that gets us to the sixth, Messier. And plenty has been talked about. It's obviously, you tweeted out yesterday, the idea of, are you still considering a Baffert horse, correct?
Yeah, and I think you have to. I think that was the common denominator in most of the responses to that tweet, that people are on the same wavelength and attacking the race in the same fashion. And I am treating Messier and treating Taiba as still in the on the Baffert program.
Yeah, and Messier in that Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita was insane. That speed figure I was talking about, that got a 107 there, and then that was. Which was the other one with Forbidden Kingdom? Was that?
That was the Bob Hope. That was a sprint distance.
Okay.
That was a couple of races before the Bob Lewis where he faced nothing.
And, okay. It so Messier, is it Yakteen? That's Bob's
Tim Yakteen, yeah.
Yeah, so that he's responsible for Messier and Taba. Your thoughts on Messier?
Yeah. Tim Yakteen is the listed trainer. I don't think Messier can do what Authentic and Medina Spirit did the last couple of years and basically wire the field, re-break in there with what the other speed horses in here. I think the only way for Messier to go was on the lead, and Taiba just destroyed him in the Santa Anita Derby in a short field. He was completely swallowed up after having the a trip right on the front end. So if he can't win that type of race, how is he going to do the same thing over potentially 19 others here? I mean, you look at his wins. He's beaten 4, 3, and 5 horses in his 3 wins. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a byproduct of California racing being terrible right now in terms of field size. But I just don't see him getting a mile and a quarter from the trip that I envision him getting on or near the lead with a bunch of other horses. So I am again, I wasn't feeling it with Authentic or Medina Spirit either. And we saw what happened both of those races. So I will probably defensively use Messier on maybe a couple of small things, okay, but he will not be a huge part of my exacta for sure.
The 8, Charge It. We got some Tappet blood in this one, right? Son of Tappet.
Yeah, and Tappet is a very precocious, hot-blooded sire with a lot of distance pedigree in there. And the Florida preps weren't necessarily highly thought of, but I'm a little intrigued by Charge It here at 20-1. Will Luis Saez send? Will he go to the front knowing that the pace is going to be hot? Was that trip in the Florida Derby where he came from off the pace more of a result of the poor start? Or was it a little bit of an experience to see if the horse does want to finish and can handle kickback and can come from off the lead? Now, he's got every right to improve in his second start against winners. And at the same time, he's also got every right just to be a typical go to the front from Gulfstream and see how long you can take him. Mm-hmm. But I think he can stay a mile and a quarter. I think he's 20-1 in the morning line. He's probably going to be longer, even though he's in the Todd Pletcher barn. He's going to be in my ticket just in case Luis Saez does do the right thing and sit just off the speed with him and give him the best opportunity to finish.
In that Florida Derby, you mentioned that White Abario won that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Charger came in second. Is that right? Yes. Yep, that's the one. It's a problem. Watching all these races back the last week, I just get
all of them confused.
Yeah, you know, everything I've read, I love the Tappet note. You talked about the pedigree, the stamina pedigree. I think it's definitely a possible horse that could win this race as we move, up the post gates where it sits in that 8. So I definitely have Charge It circled. The 9, Tis the Bomb. Your thoughts?
He is a horse that I will be using as a bomb, as a long shot, 30-1 on the morning line. Again, kind of like what I asked with Charge It, kind of like what I asked with a couple other horses. His only dirt win came at Ellis Park in a front-running fashion where he was odds on. His best running has been lately on the synthetic and then the turf where he won the Bourbon. He was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And he's won 4 or 5 on the synthetics and the turf. But he was highly thought of going into that Holy Bull where he was 9-2 against White Abario and Simplification and Mo Donegal.
Yeah. Right?
So how do you handicap and how do you analyze and process that performance? Was it okay? He needed the race off of a 3-month layoff. Okay, maybe he just didn't like Gulfstream. So if you want to take that approach, you're getting a horse that was 9-2 against those 3 horses who were highly thought of and much shorter than him on the morning line here. And then there's the same, the flip side of that, rather. Maybe there's a good chance that he really is just a turf and synthetic specialist. But I'm going to take, as I said, at 30-1, I'm going to take the approach that forgive him that race, and you have a horse that has some little bit of tactical speed, can come from off the pace, can finish going synthetic to the dirt. I think could be a potentially good thing. I think he's got a good bit of long shot appeal here, and he's someone that I'm absolutely going to be using on my tickets.
Wow. Okay. So that I want to talk about this, because this is one of the ones I had possibly as a throwout, and you mentioned it. All the wins are on either turf or synthetic surface. The Holy Bull Stakes, was it a toss-out effort because you talked about who it was against? And I want to go back. I had the number. You know, it finished 7th of the 9, defeated by 20.5 lengths. That's, for me, that doesn't look as much as you. That's hard for me to comprehend, and why I have it on the toss-out list, because when you talk about being up against that competition and on the real surface that this Saturday is going to be, and it pulls out that effort, that's really hard to overlook. But then you're saying, yes, it's possibly worth a toss out, and that's just a one-time deal.
Yeah, it is. And that's like the million-dollar question in handicapping, and that's how you come up and find some horses that are really, really long prices. Like you can play in either or. And if you play I'll take a chance, and you're right, that's how you get massive scores and massive tickets. And we've seen Kenny McPeak do well with some prices. He won the Belmont with Sarava, who was a massive long shot. He had Repent run really, really well in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at a massive price. It's a local ownership group that owns this horse. Look, I am not expecting this horse to win, but I think he's got a better chance to hit the board and be a factor than that morning line suggests.
All right. Good talk there. All right. The 10, Zandon, blown away watching this horse in races back. Bluegrass Stakes, 2.5 length win. The Risen Stars, that came in third. That was Epicenter and Smile Happy, right?
Yeah, he was coming in off of like a 2.5-month layoff, and he didn't start the race. He basically jumped up at the start and was never really in it. So I think you draw a line through that race.
Okay, and then two things here which really pushes him, and obviously I think morning line was 3-1, was the favorable post position he has here. And this Flavian Pratt has been doing some work since he's come on the scene. Your thoughts on Zandon as a whole at the 10 spot?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned Pratt, because his horses have always outrun their odds in the Kentucky Derby. He was on Country House, who got put up by
got a nice bump.
Yeah, got a nice bump, which I still appreciate to this day. He was on Rombauer in the Preakness. Like he's a great jockey.
And Hot Rod Charlie too, right?
I believe he was on Hot Rod Charlie as well.
Yeah.
So, look, you can hate the fact that this horse is 3-1. You can hate the fact he's favored. You can say, I'm never betting the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. It's terrible value. But there's nothing on this horse's past performances in the running line to suggest that he's not going to get a mile and a quarter. He's not going to run his race. And there's nothing to suggest in the way this horse has trained at Churchill Downs to suggest that he's not going to like the track on Saturday. So you may try and beat him, which, look, everyone's going to try and make a score. And look, it's a 20-horse field. Anything can happen. He can get he could lose footing at the start like he did in the Risen Star. He could get squeezed. He might get pushed wide. He might get buried inside. Things can happen. It's a Kentucky Derby, but it's going to take, I think, something like that to keep him from hitting the board. So I feel very good about using him in all spots in the trifecta.
Agree.
If you want to say Chad Brown hasn't done well in the Derby with his short sample size, fine. That's fine. He's had 6 starters and only had 1 horse finish in the money. But this is not a horse that I would be too excited to really completely beat. I'll be using him. I think he's the most likely winner based on his running style, based on the jockey trainer combo, based on how he's trained, and based on where he drew.
All right. We are throwing out the 11, Pioneer Medina. And this gets us to the 12, which I haven't written down. My most interesting horse. You say Taiba. I say Taiba. It's the Yak Team horse.
You might be right, by the way.
I was watching again last night, and all the calls of the races were saying Taiba. So,
well, if
I go with the guys that are invested every day.
I was going to say, if Trevor Denman and Larry Colmus and Frank Miramati and whomever else are saying Taiba, then I will go with Taiba.
Just a couple things.
I'm going to text Larry right now.
Okay.
And I may have an answer for you.
All right, because I got to get to some of these notes on Taiba and why it's the most interesting. Two career starts in just over 2 months prior to Saturday's May 7th running. It romped at March 5th at Santa Anita, defeated Messier again in the run happy by 2 1/4 lengths. And the problem is, in those two races, you were talking about how many horses, you know, other horses beat when they're wins, the California factor, right? A total of 11 opponents in two races, this horse is beaten. And this note from Daily Racing Forum's Jay Privman was just mind-boggling to me. And only one horse in the history of the Kentucky Derby won the race off of two career starts. And that was before our time. That was back in 1883 with old Leonidas. So I just love what I've seen from this horse and the factor of Yak Teen and whatever you want to do with Baffert. I just think it's got the goods. It's faced the horses you want them to have gone against that I think are going to be there up at the top. I love the post position at the 12. I think Taiba's got to be in everything of mine, and I could be dead wrong, but, I mean, the good is pretty darn good, and that's what you need in this race going against all these horses. So I'm pretty high on Taiba.
And I have received confirmation from the official race caller of the Triple Crown, Larry Colmus. It is Taiba.
Did you know?
There we go. Right. Research, baby.
Exactly. You are getting the job done.
And I was watching this whole week, all I was doing on YouTube, watching all these races back. It's so hard. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you got to have just.
I have a problem.
No, yeah. I was saying that your chart basis and database just must be off the charts. But enough about me talking about Taiba. I want to hear you about Taiba.
You want to see racing fans angry, put Taiba in the winner's circle Saturday. I mean, there will be an outrage that this horse and the same owner, trainer connections, assuming Bob Baffert is still calling the shots here as Medina Spear. I mean, I think there will be a lot of people a little worked up about this. So, look, this is nothing against the horse, who is clearly talented, and he's probably, but he could very easily be the most talented horse in the race with the biggest upside of any horse in this race. But again, I think there are questions to ask. Why only one listed work since the Santa Anita Derby? Mm-hmm. Why did he wind up on the vets list as unsound? Is he being rushed here to kind of soothe the owner's ego to have a horse here after Medina Spirit was taken down last year? I mean, there's a bit of me that wants to completely toss him based on the workout issues, based on it only being his third start. But there's also a part of me, you know how I love being like contrarian, like that. It almost seems too obvious to completely toss him because I think he's going to be an overlay because of that. And he, like I said, he's probably the horse with the biggest upside and the most talented. The Santa Anita Derby win was awesome. Yeah, I'm going to use him in a defensive / just in case type fashion because I don't want to miss out on a Kentucky Derby winner that may go on and potentially be a Triple Crown type threat and that's going to pay $25 or so just out of spite. So I'm going to use him as much as everything screams this horse. If this horse wins, go ahead, beat me. As much as everything says that's the way to handle the horse, I am going to use him.
All right. And we didn't even mention who's on him.
Big Money Mike.
Exactly. That's another factor. Like, I'm just reading about this horse. I'm just like, there are so many things that are intriguing. And that's why I just had to bring it up. To me, it's easily the most interesting horse because, like you said, could be some people are going to have a no chance. It's going to be on their throwaway tickets. And I just, the good is good there. And I'm fascinated to see what that horse does in this race with all the things that we just went over. That gets us to the 13 simplification. And I'll just start here. I got a red flag.
Uh-oh.
Because it's never left Gulfstream. That's from what I read there, it's never left there. It has wins in the Fountain of Youth, and then it came in third in the Florida Derby. I just look at that the entity of not being in this at this track, and I try and look at that with having familiarity. I think it does help with the horses. These trainers and jockeys know a hell of a lot more, and so do you. But that's something I look at, and I just step back a little bit and say that's a factor to me. I love Ortiz on it. It's a Sano trainer, right? Antonio?
Mario Sano, yep.
Yep, he's on that. Your thoughts on simplification?
I get and appreciate the Gulfstream factor, because one of the things I usually do look for, and I move a horse up when I see the horse having had run at Churchill as a two-year-old, just to get a little bit of a basis in familiarity with the track. I am, again, and I'm a broken record with some of these long shots. I think I would really like to use this horse.
Okay.
With a good bit of confidence, but I just don't know how Jose Ortiz is going to ride him.
Yeah.
Is he going to ride him the correct way, the best way, like he did in the Fountain of Youth when he came from off the pace and rolled by the field? Or are they going to send him on or near the lead like they did in the Florida Derby, and he's not going to be around at the end? I mean, you could say that there's maybe a little bit of a bounce in the Florida Derby, because that was his best lifetime race.
Yeah.
In the Fountain of Youth, I think you could say that there were excuses in both races versus White of Barrio, and he probably shouldn't be twice the price as White of Barrio. I mean, maybe he's not good enough. Maybe he's a little cheap. But at 20-1, I think I'm going to jump in a little bit here and just find out, because the way I see the race being run and the way I see the winning profile, I think the race that he ran in the Fountain of Youth, that's the style of race you're going to want here. So I'm looking for those types of horses, and to 20-1, probably going to be a little longer than 20-1. I think I will use.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a stalker, and I just keep getting, now that we're moving outside and in these better confines of the post, it is a fascinating deal to me, and it's again so interesting to see who comes out, and then like you said, those stalkers, where do they end up on the back, and how close are they is obviously what it comes down to. The 14, Barber Road. This is the first appearance for the owner, trainer, and jockey, correct?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he can't win. He's someone that I'll use him like for third and fourth and superfectas and tries, just because he's a dead closer. He's going to clunk up for pieces, and maybe he gets there to hit the board. But that's just about it. The trainer doesn't do a whole lot in graded stakes races. He was easily beaten by the best horse that he's ever faced, Cyberknife. You could have had him for $30,000 when he broke maiden back in October. So clearly, they didn't have high hopes, but he's got the earnings, closer, and I'll use him for third and fourth and superfectas and tries, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it's 650 career earnings, 8 starts, 2 wins, 4 seconds, 1/3. It's up there. I'm sure it's going to be one of those. There'll be multiple features on this horse on the lead up, I feel, just with the story of the infamiliarity of the owner, trainer, and jockey. All right, the 15, White of Barrio. We've talked about it a ton, just mentioning other horses, because it's been all in all the races. I'd put his resume up against anybody. Third place in the Jockey Club Stakes behind Smile Happy and Classic Causeway. It won the Florida Derby, correct?
Yeah, it won the Florida Derby. It won the Holy Bullies. Like I said, there are people that weren't wowed by either performance, and the times and the final furlong, final eighth came back slow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to knock this horse. I mean, you could say
it is.
You could say, okay, his worst lifetime performance came in his only race away from Gulfstream, which is something that you were talking about.
All four of his wins are at Gulfstream.
Earlier, you can say that he was beaten by Smile Happy and Classic Causeway in easy fashion. But at the same time, his versatility is really good. And since as a three-year-old in Safi Joseph's barn, he is really blossomed. And the question is going to be, has he made up six lanes on Smile Happy? And can he beat the likes of Zandon? But the way he won both of those races, where he draws, the way he runs, he can be closer to the lead. He can come from further off. Like, it would not surprise me at all to see him win this race.
He's
someone that I definitely think can win. Because, again, you're only looking for a little bit of racing luck. You're looking for one bad thing potentially from the favorite. He's one of the ones, which I think does surprise me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny watching these races and just seeing it. Like, he's right there with all of them in all those races. And, you know, probably doesn't have the wins that Epicenter has. And that's what I was saying with the resume. But yeah, I thought the good word you used was versatility. I think where it stands from that backstretch around those last two turns is phenomenal. And it's been there. It's been right there with those horses there. And that's I don't want to mess. Gaffalione, that's the jockey.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Tyler Gaffalione. He was a jockey on War of Will a couple of years ago that nearly got killed, but when Maximum Security came over and nearly took War of Will out of the race.
Got it. And I'm just looking at this. This is Gaffalione's fifth Derby.
Yeah, no, he's been in some big races. That is not that's not like a negative. It's not like Relo Gutierrez running in this race. No, there's nothing, no shame in having Tyler Gaffalione on this now.
All right, I gotta think you gotta have
a lot of big races in Gulfstream.
Gotta think you gotta have the 15 in your multiple horse bets, whether it's your exactas and tries and all that.
Absolutely.
He will be in mind. All right, you mentioned it just now. Impressive Horse, the 16 Cyberknife. It speaks for itself. It was disqualified from a win.
Yeah, his initial maiden win. Yes.
Okay, that's right. Okay. It won the Arkansas Derby,
which was a Churchill Downs, by the way.
His first two of races were. And that's, I like that. This is Florent
Giroux.
It's Cox Horse.
Who has also won some big races, most notably on Gunrunner, who is the sire of
Cyberknife. That's what it is.
I love Cyberknife. I had Cyberknife.
I knew you were going to.
I had Cyberknife in the Arkansas Derby, and I'm going to have him Saturday. I'm not expecting anywhere close to 20-1. The races, yeah,
no way.
The races since the blinkers have come off have been great. His buyer speed figures are a little light, I think a lot of people will point out. And again, I think there are two ways you can look at it. I think you can look at it as saying, A, he just may not have the 99-100 buyer in here that's going to be necessary to compete and potentially win. Or you can say it's good. It's a good thing because he just hasn't reached the bottom yet. I don't think distance is going to be a question. I think it's just going to be a matter of a question if he's good enough and Florent Giroux can work out a trip from post 16. I'm going to go. I know this is a horse that people were like, how the hell does this horse have a chance? Or how can this horse win based on his previous races? I'm going to go look, just give you like the line by line, my thinking as I look at his past performances, just to kind of give you an idea how I break past performances down. He won his maiden race at Churchill Downs and then got disqualified. Okay, good. And then he came back and ran a winning race in his second race, the maiden race at Churchill Downs. So he's got good form as a two-year-old from Churchill Downs. He finally broke maiden at Fairgrounds, 50 cents on the dollar, which is fine. Then his first race against winners is thrown into the LeCompte, a graded stakes race. They put blinkers on him. in that race. First race versus winners is always a race that I expect a horse to regress. The blinkers won on. I don't know exactly why. Clearly, he didn't like the blinkers. Took the blinkers off and put him in an optional allowance race to get the confidence back, and he won easily. Then you throw him back into stakes company without the blinkers, with a comfortable running style. Florent Drew gets him to relax, and he wins the Arkansas Derby easily. So, like, that's how I go through line by line handicapping a horse like Cyberknife, and I think the bloodline's there. He's not going to have any issue getting the mile and a quarter. It's just going to be a question as to if he's good enough. Remember when Mandaloon finished second on the track last year, and I didn't get paid out for the win, even though Medina Spirit was DQ'd. Don't worry, that's only like $20,000 or $30,000. I couldn't use that. But he was 27-1 in that race. So don't be afraid of backing a Brad Cox horse. That is a massive price.
All right. You heard it there. All in. Cyberknife. Bring the heat. We are skipping 17 Classic Causeway. I have no idea what to make of that horse as I was reading through
it. Speed and Fate.
So happy. Tawny Port, the 18. Go.
Yeah, he'll be the longest price of the three Brad Cox horses. Yeah. He'll also be the furthest back in the race. He hasn't really been close against Epicenter or Zandon or Tis the Bomb. He didn't beat anything in the Lexington to get in this race. But again, we were talking about horses that will have no shot to hit the board. Tawny Port does not have no shot to hit the board. I mean, I don't think he can crack the exacta, but I wouldn't be shocked if this horse clunked up to finish third or fourth in the bottom rungs of trifectas and supercuts.
All right. I mean, yeah, 5 starts, 3 wins, 1 second. Really interested to see how that fits in right off that first turn out at the 18. The 19, you tossed out Zozos.
And we talked about him because he is a factor in this race, because he will ensure a fast pace up front, which will help that second flight of horses coming from just off the pace.
Justifies the only horse to win the Kentucky Derby without making a start as a two-year-old since 1882, and that's what Zozos is? Is that correct?
Yeah, Zozos did not make his debut until late January.
Got it.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly identical situation, right? Three lifetime starts unraced as a two-year-old?
Yeah, that was my red flag on Zozos. But like I said, I think it's going to be up there right off the get, seeing how it's outside, and it's just going to go. Manny Franco's on Zozos. He came in second.
Yeah, that was a really good race.
Tis the Law, right?
In the Zozos?
Yeah, no.
Zozos?
No, Manny was on Tis the Law.
Oh, Manny Franco was on Tis the Law, yes.
In the 20 Derby.
Yep.
Very good. And then the 20 you're throwing out.
Yep.
So, old D-Wayne still has a horse in there. All right, let's get to the money.
He's got a serious horse in the Oaks, by the way.
Yes, we will get to that. Money-wise, your horses, you'll be throwing in your wagering.
I'm gonna key Cyberknife and Zandon in one spot in the try, and then I'm basically going to use the other horses that I mentioned, the ones that I didn't completely throw out in the other two spots. So it'll be like
Charge It.
It'll be those 11 horses with the two horses with the other horses. Or actually, it'll be what 13 horses with two, or 13 horses for third, two horses for second, and then like Tawny Port, I'm not going to put to win. Who else did I mention that can't win? But Barbara Road is not going to win. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like 11 horses in the win spot with two horses with Zandon and Cyberknife with like 13 horses for third. So that's what it'll be. Like that'll be my exacta. And then if you want to just take the 5 horses I like the most to put them in an exacta.
Yeah.
Ox, I would use Zandon. I would use Cyberknife.
Mm-hmm.
I would use Taba. I would use Wide Barrio, and I would use Tis the Bomb. Those would be the five that I would box in the try. So that's what? 9, 10, 12, 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Hey, you know what? Make it a six horse exacta box and add the 13 as well.
And the 13
cost, what, $30 for a buck?
Yeah.
Six times
13. 13 is simplification.
Yeah. And I'm going to have a column up on ESPN.com as well.
Yeah, you are. Get it. What's the deadline on that? You better get that in on time.
I'm waiting it out. Kidding. Yeah, you're waiting it out. All right. While I was sitting getting my taking care of some car stuff this morning, I actually was able to get a good chunk of it done. And I went through and made a couple of picks in some of the undercard races as well. So I'm in a good spot here.
You want to give those out on the undercard for Saturday?
Yeah. I'm not going to go into too much detail.
No, just give us some winners. Yeah, we just want the winners. We don't care about the research you did, okay?
Perfect. good for podcast length. People will appreciate
exactly.
On Thursday in the Modesty, I like Bleecker Street. He'll be favored. So no real value there. He's undefeated. La Troyenne, I like Pauline's Pearl. Will probably be a short price. And the Ali Sheba, I think Max Player is vulnerable, so I think Weyburn could be a little bit of a price. I'm going to go with Weyburn and the Ali Sheba. Another price in the Edgewood, Beechnut Trophy is who I like. I believe Beechnut Trophy was 10-1 on the morning line. In the Eight Bells, I like Gerrymander. If you look at the company that this filly has kept, she's finished in front of Nest, who is your favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. So I think that's someone to take a look at. In the Turf Sprint on Friday, I would take a look at the Learjet, who I believe is 10 or 12-1 on the morning line. Nice inside draw there. We're going to talk about the Oaks, so I'll leave my Oaks pick out of it for now.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday's stakes race, not a ton of prices, unfortunately.
No.
The Distaff Turf in Italian, it looks like the most likely winner to me. Pat Day Mile, Major General. I think with someone who is worthy of consideration, the Derby City Distaff. I like Edgeway. American Turf, there was a horse that I liked the price. Smoking Tea, Shug McGahee's horse. I think there's some things to like about that horse at a big number. Jackie's Warrior, odds on, and the Churchill Downs handicap should win. And then the Turf Classic right before the Kentucky Derby. I think Adamo is the not Adamo. It's not your favorite restaurant in Vegas. At Hamo is the horse that Chad Brown and Mirror Mission. If you're looking for a long shot,
very good. Let's move ahead to Friday with the Oaks. Guessing you will be there for that.
I will
still stand on the grounds that I enjoy Friday. If you're going to Churchill Downs, wear your pink. I enjoy Friday more than I did Saturday. I just think it's fantastic, the idea of it all, and it's not amateur hour. There's people there. It's buckle up time, as some people will say, knowing the clientele there that is there to win some cash, and the people that have done their work are getting there on Friday to start doing work. That's the way I put it. So let's go right to the Oaks. And your thoughts on the Oaks?
I was a little surprised that Nest was made morning line favorite.
Me too.
Just based on, I guess, on the Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, she is clearly can win the race, but is she that much better than Secret Oath, Echo Zulu, Kathleen O? I don't know. I like Secret Oath personally.
I do too.
I know people don't.
That's
like
D Wayne's. That's D Wayne's horse.
Yeah. I think people are a little put off by the inside draw.
Mm-hmm.
But her races, again, you go through her past performances. Throw the first race out. D Wayne Lucas does not win first time out. Second race wins for fun at 3-1. Again, and then first win at Churchill Downs, by the way.
Yep.
Next race, right into stakes company, you're not going to win that race. Then comes back in an allowance at Oaklawn, crushes. Put her in a little handicap, stakes in Oaklawn, crushes. Throw her back into graded company at Oaklawn, crushes. Okay, let's try against the boys at Oaklawn with Luis Contreras. And watch that race back and just look at how awful the trip was in that race. Mm-hmm. And she was only beaten three and a half lengths by Cyberknife. Now you're back in against Phillies. You've got Luis Saez, and you might get a little forgotten about on the board, being that you're 6-1. Like, I like her a lot in this race. I think she gets a great trip. I think she works out a trip with Saez, and it's 6-1. I am absolutely on her. I would love to see Hidden Connection run really well for my guys, the Black Type Thoroughbreds. Clearly, she has
Hidden Connection lost to Echo Zulu, right?
Yes, lost Echo Zulu, but lost by a nose at Fairgrounds. She ran really well. I know they were very happy with that performance, and she won the Pocahontas here at Churchill Downs. So she's got some good good races here in the past, obviously at Churchill Downs. So I would love, she's 20-1 in the morning line. I would love to see her.
Yeah,
run well. I think Nostalgic is someone that you could maybe take a look at to hit the board and run well. She's got a similar type running style from just off the pace that will probably bode well here. I don't think
she won the Gazelle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get Echo Zulu or Yagiri. I think those two are going to duel each other into the ground and probably destroy all their chances. Can Kathleen O win the race? Coming from as far back,
it feels like everybody's on Kathleen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think there's a really good chance she goes favorite in this race. She was awesome in Gulfstream, but I just wonder if she's gonna be too far back.
I look at Goddess of Fire ran against Kathleen O in that Gulfstream Park Oaks. I like what I saw from Goddess of Fire there. And the other one I think is, you mentioned another 20-1. I'll give you another one, Desert Dawn. I just think there's a lot of capability, and that price there I think we're thinking the same lengths. Is Kathleen O is going to go off? I think if there's rain, Kathleen O does have a win in the mud. So I think
there's going to be rain. That's the only negative about Friday.
Yeah,
it's going to be nasty.
So you're going to hear plenty of that. Kathleen O does have a win in the mud. So I think I'm totally with you there as that going off as the favorite, but I would, I look at the one Secret Oath. I don't like being the one, but I do like the capability of the horse. So I'm going to go, my try box in the Oaks will be 159. So you're getting Secret Oath, Goddess of Fire, and Desert Dawn, and box that baby. And, we'll root for the best in that.
I like Goddess of Fire. I think there are some reasons to like her in this race. Like those last two stakes tries have been really, really good. I mean, she was 3-2 against Kathleen O.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to get her 15-1, and Kathleen O is going to be 5-2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The value there with that and Desert Dawn. I think they've shown enough good to me. And like I said, stakes are high. You want to see some capability out of your horse. I'm good with that. Just back to the Derby. I think my bombs will be, I'll have across the board just to have, I think the 5 Smile Happy, will hopefully touch, and then the 9 and the 8. And then I'm with you. I think a box with those 6 horses, the 10 Zandon, the 16 Cyberknife, the 12 Taba, the 15 White Abario, the 9 Tis the Bomb, and 13 Simplification. I think it does come from that, and it's crazy to me. And all I had circled before doing this with you was where was Messier and where was Epicenter. And I think it really does affect them. And I'm a fan of Mo Donegal just from watching it. I really wish it wasn't in the one. But I think I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to have much on Epicenter or Messier.
Yeah, I can't see me having a whole lot of Messier at all. More Epicenter, yes. just because he did show that versatility
mm-hmm.
to be able to come from off the pace.
Who do you think goes off as the favorite?
Zandon will go off
as the favorite. Okay. All right. Yeah. I agree with you there. All right. That'll do it. Like I said, the Bear will have an extended column. When's that going to go up? Thursday?
I would think it'll be up Thursday.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Good. I would hope Thursday. I'll get it to him after we finish this up, and that way you have Thursday to absorb and digest it.
Yeah. Let's put some pressure on Swink. Let's get the podcast out before the column, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. That is a lot. That's minus 10,000 right there.
Very good. Click the heck out of that column. Bear does a great job. No one does it better. And I'm fired up. You'll be there again. But you were in Las Vegas. And
it was. When we're coming
to your city. I said I watched way too much of the draft, but I love it. And it's because of you guys and watching you guys. But before the draft even started, I was watching. And Mark, Coach Freeman of Notre Dame and Coach Day of Ohio State, who we're huge fans of, were on the set with you. And the idea of their game week one came up. So I had Schwenk cut this off, and I want to hear let the folks hear this, and we'll react on the back end.
Chris Felica is with us. Bear, I know it's early. You got a little insight for these guys and what the line looks like for the Buckeyes and Fighting Irish opening
week? We do. Our friends at Caesars Sportsbook have opened Ohio State as a 13-point favorite, so they're expecting Coach Freeman's defense to have a little bit of trouble. So there's some good bulletin board material. Play up the underdog role right off the bat in your trip back to Ohio State. I guess the odds makers here don't think you can control that Ohio State offense.
Absolutely. I think they should widen it a little bit more.
Hey, Bear. These guys don't need any more motivation, Bear, okay? Take it easy. The line's already.
Ryan, you're gonna have some guys tonight before. I know you'll be ready to get ready for Notre Dame shortly. Well, you guys have certainly put together a great talent. Looking forward to seeing your teams go at it in the opening weekend, first full opening weekend of college.
What was the line again?
Make it bigger. Whatever it is, yeah. Make it bigger.
Bear said 13 and a half.
Oh,
make it 14.
It'll go up by this game time. It'll go up.
Ryan, that's the price of all your success,
man. No, I'm going to talk to Bear. That's right. Hey, he's over there under the shade if you can't find him.
Still to come on College Game Day. Thanks to these guys.
You know, Bear, we don't have the visual effect of it, but seeing Coach Day's face.
Oh, he was thrilled.
looking over at you saying, I'm going to have a word with the Bear.
A little funnier backstory. He comes into our green room before the show, and this was Thursday, right? I think Thursday or Friday. I can't remember.
That was Thursday.
It was Thursday, yeah. And I'm sitting there, and he walks in and immediately gives me a hard time. Bear, what are you over there watching, Keeneland? And I go, yep, and immediately show him that I am. So, yeah, it was funny, total unintentional little jab because he knew I was watching Keeneland. But he's the best, man. He is so
good. He's so good.
So it was fun to give that little bit of information, and immediately he's gonna love a summer of that.
I was gonna say,
Ohio State's a 14-point favorite over Notre Dame to start the year as they break in a new receiving core, and
they got it. Don't worry, they got it.
Oh, they
will. Is it official yet? Will you guys be there?
I would think so.
Right?
I have not been told to book travel yet, but I would be shocked if that wasn't the game day site and the ABC primetime game to start the year. I mean, when we're coming
to your city. Yeah, if
it's not, there are reasons beyond our control, but I'd be surprised. Hopefully Ohio will have a game, all their gaming stuff going up and all their app gaming sites up and running by then too.
That would be great. Nice to go along for the trip.
Did I tell you what I did the last week too, by the way? Because in Vegas, you can't bet on DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yeah, I know.
So What I wound up doing was I went to dinner on Wednesday with Gil Alexander, his girlfriend, and Joe Fortenbaugh.
Okay.
The Carbone, which was great.
Oof.
After we were done, I went to the airport. I rented a car and drove the half hour to the Arizona border.
Come on. And we're coming
to your city. Oh, absolutely. It was great. Such an easy drive.
Did McKenzie go with you? That's his specialty. No.
I probably should have asked him. He probably would have.
He would have driven you.
It was great. So drove off. Welcome to Arizona. Kingman Ferry Access Road or wherever the heck the exit is.
I'm here.
A mile over the border. Get off. Nice, wonderful. And this is like 10:35, 10:40 at night. So dark. Nice little gravel area right off the side of the road. And truckers asleep in front of me. I just pull up. Fire them up.
Fire away.
Fire away.
How do we do?
We did well.
Good.
We did well. Turned back around, dropped the car off at McCarran, was back in the hotel by 12:15. Two hours and 15 minutes of door to door.
That's making curfew in that city.
I was going to say the only thing that went bad for me was Charles Cross not going under 7.5. But despite that, Clay Walker being the first linebacker selected made my night. So sorry to interrupt. Go for it.
No. Yours is way more interesting than me because I said on a couple podcasts that I didn't want to bet on the draft. You're talking about you're being out there, you're wheeling and dealing, you're around the information. You know, you're diving in. They're out there all week. You hear the chatter. I'm back here in Maryland. We still can't bet on the apps. And I wasn't about to drive over to Virginia and start firing. I just had zero interest in it. And I didn't place one wager on the draft. And I just felt like it's one of those things. I don't feel comfortable betting it because if I'm not involved in it, it feels like everybody's way ahead of me. And the people that are saying this is going to happen, I feel like they're lying to you because they want the other thing to happen. And then the people that don't know what's happening are saying they know what's happening, but they're lying because they just want to be listened to. So it's just become and knowing guys that are in the business and having supposed friends just lie to them in the days up to the thing is just mind-boggling to me because I don't want to have any money wagered on it. So I passed and I was completely good. I enjoyed the coverage of the draft. I enjoyed watching it. I love the event that it's become and we're good. I'm sure it was good to have it out in Vegas. Is next year already announced? Is that SoFi?
Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. All right. How'd we do with the heat out there? You all right? Multiple shirt day.
It was nice. Good. It was not hot at all.
That beer park is no joke. I like that place.
Well, that set was hot. There was no canopy on the set, but the crew did a wonderful job for me and put a little screen over my head to keep the sun from beating down on me. My man Lou, he took care of me, which was great.
Good.
But once we got to the other set by the main draft stage. Like Thursday night, there was a great breeze.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. And then Friday was a little warmer, but it was okay.
How did Chris Angel do with the lockbox?
Got it.
He did?
I don't know how he gets it, but I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it.
He got the top three picks right.
Not in order, yep.
Wow. It wasn't that hard. I don't know.
By the way, speaking of which – shout out to our guy Mitch Moss, 100-1 on Stingley to be the third pick, early.
He said he's buying a jersey, a nice mint colored one.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, he does pretty well with those deals. You listen to Mitch; he's a good man. The hockey, how are you handling the hockey with no Islanders?
It's okay because the Penguins are in for my wife, so we watch that.
Rooting against the Rangers,
of course. Stayed up way too late last night.
What a game. What a game.
Then after that, watched the Calgary and Dallas, which was another really entertaining game while sweating the Dodgers. But by the way, why are the Dodgers taking out Urias after like 65 pitches?
They love doing it.
That's unhittable. And then we're going to bring in Graterol, who immediately becomes an arsonist. So I had to sit there and unnecessarily sweat that.
Yep.
Fortunately, they did. They did get me up, but I got to bed way too late last night.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer than you need to be. Big one for my Bruins tonight. This will be dated, but
I know.
Big one. I feel like I'll be giving them out on Daily Wager today.
Oh, I'd probably lay the goal line too.
There you go.
Lay a goal and a half and get some plus money.
Wheel them all. Put them in together.
Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak all to score. Send it in.
People happy down here. Rock the red caps. Big.
How about that? Yeah, I was just about to say I got a nice Panthers ticket to win the cup and win the conference from before the season.
What'd you get there?
I got a 24-1 to win the cup and 11.50 to win the East.
The Lightning aren't going to go this quietly, right?
I can't think so, but Toronto's better than them.
They are.
Toronto's better, yes.
But that was a butt-whooping, man.
Woo! Yeah. But, you know, it's what you're going to see now, like, in games. Like, there'll be an overreaction to that. Like, the world is going to be on the Avalanche on the goal line on Thursday night when that after the Avs won as easily as they did.
Speaking of overreaction, I understand Embiid is hoping to play in game 3 and 4. And if you like the Sixers, go ahead. But that overreaction to that series price now, plus 475, is crazy to me.
It is.
The Mavericks plus 425 is crazy to me. The Celtics are back to minus 120 after getting that win last night. And the Warriors minus 350. I still think the Warriors are the pick in that series. I mean, last night, Klay and Steph combined 5 for 23 from three. That's not going to happen again. Now they're going home. And I just think as good as fun as Memphis is, they still have too many boneheaded plays when it counts. And I think that's going to cost them as these games to continue to be tight. Now, I have the Warriors before the series, so I'm not jumping back in. But I feel confident in the Warriors winning.
Is Iguodala coming back?
He's playing Saturday.
Okay,
so you lose Payton and you get Iguodala back. I'm glad I wanted to bring that up. But yeah. I just feel like Klay doesn't look the same as he did a couple of years ago. Obviously, he's had some serious injuries, but I still think he's going to get enough open looks. And Steph is Steph, and Poole is just incredible. So
who saw that coming? By the way.
What a job by them drafting him. How are you handling the Jets' optimism?
It's the Jets, man. That's
what I say about the Mets.
The Jets. You've got to try really hard to screw up two top 10 picks like that and say, okay, we're going to take one of the best two corners and one of the best two wide receivers. We're going to get them. And then, oh, by the way, we have a boatload of picks. Let's take the best available pass rate. Like you've got to really try to screw that up.
Mm.
Now it's a question of, do they have a quarterback?
Yeah. I also think they need Becton. They need Becton to prove his.
Yeah. That's why I was a little surprised that they took Gardner instead of Okwonu.
Yeah. Cause they have a couple other guys coming off IR. I feel like on the O-line too, that I think are going to help things a lot, but that division will be interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. You've got the Dolphins to improve, the Patriots and the Bills.
Correct.
They could be improved and still be 7-10.
Yeah. What's their – is their over-under out?
I haven't seen them up yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I think they wait until the actual
– schedule release. That's what, next Thursday?
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be a big to-do about that. Because
what was the best NFL jersey you saw out there?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I'm sure you could make a top 10 of it.
I mean, there were a lot of Raiders ones, obviously.
Yeah.
I had a Derek Brooks Tampa one.
Nice.
That was a good one.
Creamsicle?
No.
Okay.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else I had seen out there. Chad Pennington, we had one of those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There was one of those. Gosh, I wish I would have been looking harder now. Because that's always one of my favorite things to do is look for like ridiculous jerseys.
I know, that's why I asked you.
Yeah, Derek Brooks and Chad Pennington were the two that I definitely remember. Yeah, a lot of Max Crosby, obviously, from the Raiders. Fired in my next round of cross sports, by the way, at Circa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Went and cashed my Scheffler ticket.
Oh, nice.
So I reinvested. So I got I got Liverpool and Man City to win Champions League in one leg.
Okay.
I've got Nadal, Alcaraz, and Tsitsipas to win the French Open. And then I got the NBA. I've got Bucks, Celtics, Suns, Warriors, Mavericks. And then in PGA, I went Rahm, Cam Smith, Morikawa, Spieth, Koepka, Scheffler.
Bingo.
So I took that killed about an hour and 45 minutes of my time on Friday night. punching in 210 parlay. Shout out to the staff at Circa, who was awesome. We had a lot of fun while going through those. It was fun.
Wells Fargo here in Potomac this weekend. I'll be headed over there.
Good for you.
And then next week, head out to the old beautiful Tulsa. If anybody's got any word for me, PGA Southern Hills, I will be there.
Bring a towel.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling. But you know what? I need a little sweat come this time of year.
My buddy lives out there. I wonder if he's still in town.
Okay.
See what we got for you.
Very good. People have been already sending Van Pelt and I casinos, but Scott's deal is I want a casino that will offer me a marker. I'm good for a marker. Give me a marker. So we're still looking for that. But that'll do it. Have a blast at the Derby. Like I said, Friday's the day. I just love that day, and hopefully next year we'll get back there. Anything else before we go?
No, we're good. I think we touched all the bases.
Check out Bears column. I can't say it enough on .com. That way, I know I still have problems with it, with the names and the numbers and the horses, all the picks he will give you there. And good luck to everybody. Saturday is going to be an awesome day. Starting off early with a big money against the Maroon. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.